Welcome to the Parenting is Heartwork podcast. This is Dr. Scott Taransky, and I'm here with Elena Svetzlot, and we today are going to be looking at another aspect of parenting. In fact, I think that this one area is something that most parents need help in, and that has to do with anger. Anger in their children. I suppose we need help with anger for parents too. We're going to talk about anger in children today, helping them with a plan, knowing how to help them address that. So, Elena, welcome. I'm glad you're with me today. Let's talk together.
Hi, Dr. Scott, and hi, everyone listening. Indeed, a very exciting topic today. I'm sure by the end of it, children and parents alike would have been benefiting from all the tips we will be giving and all the learning that you will be sharing with us. So I'm excited. And I know it's something that's close to your heart, Dr. Scott, dealing with anger. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, it is true. I really want to manage my own anger well, but also my oldest son, Josh, had some real challenges with anger as he was growing up. We have five kids, and I just remember, you know, he had some real challenges in this area when he was a preschooler and then early elementary. We were really fearing the teen years. But, you know, the Lord really worked in his heart during that time. We did a lot with him. I'm sure that it's because of his challenges that I did a lot of research and work and have a lot of empathy for parents whose kids are angry. So I'm really, in a lot of ways, I'm grateful for the experiences we went through, because we've developed a lot of solutions to try to break this down for children so that they can understand it. And Josh, when he turned to be a teenager, he became a very peaceable guy. It was just great. And so his emotional management right now in his life, even as an adult with his own kids, is very nice. I'm just grateful for his ability to manage himself well. So a lot of work at this age when children are young, but I think we can do some good things, and we'll talk about those today.
That's so encouraging to hear, Dr. Scott, because I think all of us are dealing with anger one way or another, and seeing it in our children and having a way to help us deal with it, it's so helpful. Everyone knows what anger is to one degree or another. And what I really like in your book, Home Improvement, you define or you talk about anger as a yellow light that's going on and that signals that something is going wrong. And I really like that, because anger isn't always wrong. Can you go a bit more into detail explaining about that?
Yeah, we use the scriptures as their authority, of course. And so as we're looking in the Bible and trying to understand anger, we see that anger is a warning light. It's not always wrong. We see in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, in your anger, do not sin, which gives you the impression that there's an anger that doesn't involve sin. In James chapter 1, it says, do not let the sun go down. No, it says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. And that implies that anger itself isn't wrong, but there needs to be a slowness to it. What that says to me as I study the scriptures is that anger itself isn't wrong, but it's a flag. It's an indicator that says something's wrong here. If we can use anger to identify problems instead of solve problems, then we can be much more productive, because anger does usually point out something's wrong. Now, we don't know what the something wrong is. Sometimes the something wrong is in my own heart, that I'm being stubborn and selfish, and so maybe it's my own anger. But sometimes the anger that I experience is because there's actually something wrong out there. Somebody's doing something wrong, and that often happens with children. They perceive something to be wrong out there, and so they get angry. Helping them to know how to respond in that situation is very important.
Yeah, and also in your book, you mentioned that anger is not something that's going to go overnight, just like you told us about the example of your own son. It's something that it takes a lot of work, prayer, and just continuous focus. And I really like the steps you give in your book to create a plan to help parents deal with this. I know, as a parent myself, that when we don't have a plan in place, we can really become desperate, and we can become just like an island in the middle of an ocean without really a compass where we should be heading towards. So Shall we start, Dr. Scott, sharing with parents how they can develop a plan to help them deal with anger in their children, and of course, if it's needed for themselves as well?
Yeah, I think the plan idea provides hope. It provides hope for children, provides hope for parents. And when we help children understand there's a plan for dealing with anger, I see children brighten up. They go, well, what is it? I want to know. Because kids don't like being angry. They realize they're miserable when they're angry. And if they could have a plan for overcoming this emotion, that would be really helpful. So learning how to cope with anger, to manage it, I think is an important thing. So we've broken it down for kids into three different steps. The first step is to identify the cues. So let's talk about that first step, identifying the cues, because this is a step that increases awareness. If you look at the verse in James 1:19 and 20, it says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Well, how can you be slow to get angry if you can't see it coming on? So we're going to start by the awareness side. We're going to say to kids, how can you tell when you're starting to get angry? And most kids have no idea knowing what we're talking about in this. And so I say, well, let me tell you how I can tell that I'm starting to get angry. I say my eyebrows come down, my shoulders come up, my voice gets a little bit more tense, my head sticks out sometimes, and then I know I'm starting to get angry. Those are biological cues that take place inside my body that tell me that. How can you tell when you're starting to get angry? And kids say all kinds of things. They see things like my ears start to get hot, or the warmth idea seems to be a common one. I start to feel warm all over my body, or the warm feeling I get starts to comes up my chest and into my head, or something like that. So the warmth is one. Another one is children says my muscles get tense. I say, which muscles? Sometimes their stomach muscles, or their hands become balls, or they clench their fist, or they clench their teeth even. So there's this biological cue that's indicating we got something going on here that's a problem.
Yeah, I think that's...
We want our children to be able to see those cues.
Absolutely, absolutely. And also us as adults, as parents, it's also important for us to point them out and remind them of these cues. And many of these cues I can identify even for myself. So that's very good. The second step you mentioned is... step back when you feel these cues coming, and that's true. It's harder in practice than in theory, because when there is that time between the moment we identify the cues and the moment when we let we decide what to do about it. So, Dr. Scott, I know usually people charge into anger, and you recommend that we should take a step back.
So before we get to this question about the second step, I just want to say that sometimes children, this is really, the first step is all they need. Sometimes they just, the awareness level increases and they go, oh, I'm starting to get angry, and they self-correct. So I'll even say to kids, how can you tell when your dad's getting angry? How can you tell when your mom's getting angry? That's always fun, because it helps kids see that anger's a problem that we all experience in life. So helping them to be able to realize that, grasp it, is an important part. But yes, then there's this second step. And I tell kids, there's only one second step. Only one second step. And that second step is to stop and pull back. You cannot continue, because when you continue with anger, that's when relationships get damaged, things get hurt. It just doesn't work. You have to learn how to pull back. And that pulling back is an important part of the learning experience. So we probably should spend a little bit of time talking about what that means, pulling back and stopping, but that is the second step.
Yeah, I really like that. And indeed, I think it's very important to talk about it. And because one of the steps, the other steps, is to choose a better way to respond. And I think they're very closely connected to each other. And I also think it's very closely connected with trying to find a more positive way to respond, or a way in which you show you show another side, which is not the anger. So how would you explain that, Dr. Scott?
When a person stops and pulls back, they do different things. So this is where it becomes very personal, I think, for each person. I mean, when I think about each child I've talked to, they have different plans. And we say to sometimes count 1 to 10 or count backwards or something. And but I don't think that's really a good idea. I mean, there aren't too many kids I talk to that even makes sense to them or doesn't work for them. And so I say, what does work for you? And because I want it to be personalized for them. How can they actually stop, settle down, and move forward in their life? What does that mean? And some kids will say, well, I step back. Or one boy said, I lie flat. I'm going to lie flat. That was going to be his plan. I said, okay, well, I'll try that. He comes back the next week and says, that didn't work. Lying flat didn't help me at all. He says, but he did say, I went and got a drink of water. Now, that's a good idea because it relaxes those muscles that are really tense when we're upset. So getting a drink of water is a good idea. We generally have to be quiet. We can't continue the dialogue. And sometimes a child has to get out of the room, you know, go and sit in the other room or something. And if a child isn't responding well, sometimes as parents, we require that. We say to them, look, if you can't settle down, you're going to have to go into the other room. What we don't want to do is continue to dialogue with an angry child. When you dialogue with an angry child, you essentially validate their disrespect, their meanness, their sarcasm, whatever they're doing. You have to stop. And so as a parent, sometimes we have to step in and we say, we're done. You need to go take a break and settle down. Come back and see me when you're ready. Because what we're doing is we're training that child to say, life can't continue when you're angry and upset. This is the main truth, the main principle children are getting. Even when children are very young, even if they're 1 year old, then what we're doing here is we may not be able to use words, but we might set them down. And if they're screaming and yelling, we say, well, you're upset. When you settle down, we can get back together and I can pick you up again. You know, so what we're doing is we're somehow helping a child see that life does not work for you when you're just reacting in anger. Now, sometimes people who are angry just need a hug. So, you know, maybe a child who's 1 year old just needs, come over here, let me hold you. You have to know the child. You know, sometimes I'm working with children who've been through trauma, and we're not telling them to go take a break, but we're saying, look, come over here. I can see you're upset. You're angry. Let me hold you for a couple minutes while you settle down. Breathe with me. And we help them actually do that. So this is very personalized, how one steps back. But I do know we can't continue when a child is angry to pretend like everything's okay or to continue to get things done, because it just encourages the abusive approach that anger often creates.
Yeah, and we will go into the more detail of maybe let's talk a bit more about how do you think about parents or those who encourage venting. I would really like to hear your thoughts on that. But before we do that, Dr. Scott, is there a formula or a way in which we can remind our kids? You just mentioned it, but I would like you to go into a bit more detail. How can we remind our children when they get angry in a way in which we do it in a right way, I would say?
Yeah, I think we have to be on the lookout for the kind of tools that kids use. Sometimes they use some mean techniques or disrespect, or they pull away or whatever. We want to identify those pretty quickly and not get sucked into their drama. Mm. And instead, we just want to make a statement that says, looks like you're off track here. I can't continue with you. You need to take a break. So I think we need to be more speedy in our response to a child when they're off track, to help them see that they are off track. They've actually left the tracks. And when they're off track, life can't continue the way it is now. We need to make a change. So it's hard for parents sometimes to recognize that and to be able to see it. We have to be able to see it. And when we do see it, then we can take some action immediately. I think that's always, that's really helpful. We got to call it. When we see it, we call it. Mm. Instead of getting sucked in, that'll help us move children into this place where they need to take a break or settle down.
Yeah, that's good. Let's go quickly and talk about children and parents who use venting as something part of their way to manage sentiment, stress, anger. I know that many people consider it healthy because they think it's a way to let out the steam, to let out the anger. And I also know that that's not necessarily the case, and it can develop some very bad tendencies and maybe habits. How would you talk to someone with a parent who's doing that or who believes that's the right way to do things? And how would you talk to them about it?
Well, the Bible talks about self-control being our primary tool, and I think that's what we're trying to build in children. I think venting doesn't encourage self-control. It gives the impression that if I have this emotion that's causing me to be upset, then I should run with it a little bit here to get out some of the energy. I generally think that's unhelpful. I think that if you teach a child to punch a pillow or scream into a pillow or something like that, sometimes the pillow's not going to be around. And now they're, what are they going to do? I just don't think that's a good response to addressing the anger that you experience in life. I think it's better to learn how to take a deep breath or to walk around the room or step back and say some things to yourself, to recenter yourself with the Lord, pray if we can help children do that. Whatever tools we can use to bring about that self-control and allow the energy to dissipate in a different way, a more healthy way, I think is much more productive. Sending people to the gym to punch on punching bags, even as adults, to get out their anger doesn't really help them deal with their anger. It just gives them this outlet. Then, you know, and then they get angry sometimes and they just want to punch something. It just doesn't work. So I think it's best to use self-control. God has designed that for us. So venting, I just don't think is a good response. I think if you teach children to vent, it just increases. It doesn't decrease their ability to manage their anger well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost as if you would tried to stop a little blood flow, then if you press it backwards, it's just gonna in time stop actually coming out. So that's a very good practice for all of us, Dr. Scott. I know that we are towards the end of the episode now, and there is one more step which we would like to quickly go into, which is forgiveness. Last time we spoke about ending the discipline in a positive way, and I find these two concepts very closer. Choosing to forgive and not to be bitter. This is something which can be very tempting, and it can really bring a lot of wounds that are not treated and hurt relationships between parents and children. Dr. Scott, how would you talk about bitterness and forgiveness in this situation?
Yeah, I think this is important. That's why in this book, this audio book, Home Improvement, the parenting book you can read to your kids, what we tried to do is give parents practical ideas, practical strategies they can apply in their home. They can even read the book to their kids. They can talk about it. It's just a great tool for them to use as they're moving forward. But I think this underlying problem that some children have holding a grudge and that's not fair and blaming other people is a significant problem that must be addressed. They have to learn how to let it go, and forgiveness is God's tool for making that happen. So teaching children how to forgive, it's not so much a logical response. It just says, I'm not qualified to hold on to the personal injustices that come my way. I have to be able to let them go. Now, if we can take some action to stop personal injustice, that's great. But sometimes we believe we've been mistreated, and we just have to be able to let it go, or it's going to turn us into an ugly person. So forgiveness is the tool, the antidote, really, for bitterness in our lives. And we want to teach children what that looks like in practical terms.
Yeah. And for more practical tips, it would be great for parents to have a read or a listen of your book. Indeed, it's out also in an audio version, so a lot of opportunities and options for parents to read and learn more. Dr. Scott, thank you so much for your time today. For parents who are interested to learn more, please go back and listen to our episodes on other topics that we have shared about. And until next time.